In this episode, discover how to stop spiraling when family relationships feel off and what it means to stay grounded in emotional distance. Welcome to Takeout Therapy, the podcast for empathic high achievers who are done with overworking, overthinking, and overwhelm. I'm Rebecca Hunter, an anxiety expert and therapist who helps high achievers find real mental calm. If you're ready to stop people-pleasing, take control of your mental health, and create real work-life balance, you're in the right place. Thanks for listening. Let's get to work. Hello, friend. I'm so glad you stopped in today. Today's session explores what happens when family relationships feel disconnected, quietly, painfully, and often without explanation. We'll look at why emotionally attuned people often feel the most destabilized by family distance, how overfunctioning in response to disconnection creates even more emotional chaos, and I'll give you a new framework for staying clear, calm, and present in the middle of it all. This episode was born from, of course, a pattern in my work that I see so much. People quietly suffering through the holidays, through their family visits, and dealing with text threads with a deep sense that something's kind of broken in their family and that maybe it's their job to fix it. It's super interesting, I think, with family disconnection because we can all relate to it on some level. Family disconnection doesn't always announce itself with conflict. Often, it's way quieter than that. Like, there's a father who remains emotionally unreachable, always surface level, always fine. A mother whose love comes wrapped in constant advice, leaving no room for just being seen. There's the uncle that won't shut up, who constantly talks. A brother who maybe drinks too much, turning every gathering into a game of emotional survival, and a role that so many people take on without noticing. The helper, the fixer, the emotionally available, stable one, no matter the cost. In these families, which make up lots of families, one person often becomes the container for everyone else's needs. They offer rides, calm the drama, show up early, clean up late. They know everyone's schedule, grief, and dietary restrictions, but feel kind of invisible in return. When these relationships feel off, when a call goes unanswered or warmth is missing, it creates a kind of internal chaos within us. The mind fills the silence with theories, as we've been talking about on the podcast lately. Maybe something was said wrong. Maybe they're upset. Maybe it's time to try harder. All the thinking kicks in. It becomes really impossible to just relax inside of this uncertainty and distance in family relationships. And without clarity, a lot of people spiral into over-explaining, overextending themselves, and taking way too much responsibility for things that are not their responsibility. I think what makes it even harder is that there's a specific kind of grief that arises for people when family connection feels out of reach. It's something we talk about a lot in my office. It's not dramatic, though. It doesn't come with conflict. It's subtle. And it's kind of chronic, like it happens all the time. And it's hard for people to talk about, to put words to name what's happening. So it looks different for everybody, but, you know, it's like some family members might be physically present, but emotionally unavailable. Conversations stay surface level. Interactions feel kind of hollow. Attempts at closeness, they just land flat. And for emotionally attuned people, those who are wired for depth and relational safety, this distance hits hard. It's really difficult. The body often registers this like loss or grief before the mind can even explain it. There's a tightness in the chest after we have our visits, right? Or some people feel a lingering unease or just like a sense of not being seen. And underneath that, typically a quiet anger begins to build, right? Anger that, like, my parents are still the same. No one listens to me. The growth hasn't happened here. That conversations still get ignored or redirected. Maybe emotions still get dismissed after all this time. And boundaries, in some families, boundaries will never exist. And it causes us anger. And it's not rage. It's like this resignation, this sadness. And with all of this comes something more painful, which is a return to the emotional territory of our childhood, right? The familiar roles resurface. You're the peacekeeper or the overgiver, the one who makes everything okay. There's a lot of negotiating that has to happen in families. So this is what happens, and time with family becomes this loop. Maybe you show up with an intention and put in a good effort for things to be different and leave feeling invalidated, emotionally scrambled, or just plain numb. This is what happens with family disconnection. It reopens the wound of needing something that isn't available. It really reinforces this kind of secret, hidden belief that relationship safety, emotional safety, like, has to be earned through our behavior and behaving properly according to our family rules, not just like across the board. And that belief creates a lot of tension, and it's exhausting, and it leads to people really questioning themselves quite deeply long after the visit is over. So let's talk about this today, because what if it's not about fixing the distance or getting closer or understanding anybody better? What if the peace doesn't come from getting closer, but from changing how closeness in your family is defined? There's a way to stay present inside disconnected family systems. There's a way to stop abandoning yourself in the name of, like, I just want to be closer to my family. There is a way to hold the ache of what isn't and what will never be without turning it into anything that means anything about you. It's not a personal failure that your family might feel disconnected. I have three ideas for a strategy that you can take on this front, and hopefully one of them or all of them will be helpful. The way I help people to deal with these types of situations is, first, I teach them that they have control over the level of engagement that they have with their family. Meaning that engaging within our family systems doesn't have to mean emotionally intimate relationships. It's okay to scale back on thinking that's how it's going to be. It's okay, actually, to pick your level of engagement, meaning how often you have contact. If being around your family feels unsafe or depleting, like, do it less. Sometimes, like, less texting is enough. Sometimes a shorter visit with an early exit plan is a really good choice for everybody. People often think that if they reduce their engagement with their family, it means they love them less. And that is so not true. But boundaries around how we connect and how we engage and knowing what feels good to us and right to us, that protects the connection, actually. It doesn't destroy it. I think the second thing is to really look to acceptance as a key factor in successful family relationships. Like, hey, yo, we don't pick our families. And a lot of times they're not people that we would pick to be friends with or to have in our lives, and that's totally okay. There is no control that you have over another person's capacity. right? A capacity to have a deeper conversation, a capacity to share emotion. Whatever it might be, a dad who doesn't share emotions may never start. A mom who advises instead of witnessing may never see the difference. A brother whose coping is alcohol isn't likely to change at a holiday dinner. Accepting the truth doesn't mean approving it. It means you're working with what you've got. It means that you're no longer wasting energy arguing with how things are. It's okay for you to just accept how things are and exist within that. Peace begins at the moment reality is allowed to just be. And I laugh with my clients because I tell them, just go and just like notice. You don't have to engage in everything, but you could just observe and notice and use it as an opportunity to know yourself better, to understand yourself better, you know, to have a little bit of curiosity, like, what's up with these people? Curiosity is so helpful because it softens our need to control, meaning that you don't have to run around trying to make everything better. You can just kind of hang back and be like, wow, this is super interesting, right? But I think it's important to be curious about what happens for you too. What emotions are being triggered when you feel disconnected from your family? Is it grief? Is it fear? Is it shame? Staying curious with yourself and others just allows space to see patterns. There doesn't have to be any blame on anybody about much of anything, actually. We're all just out here humaning and it's hard. But when we come in with curiosity and acceptance, and we choose the way we're going to engage with our family, it really builds compassion in families where very little has ever felt mutual. So family disconnection isn't always a problem to be solved. It's a dynamic to be witnessed and navigated, my friend. And often the real healing actually starts when the pressure to perform closeness, when there isn't much, is finally let go of. So hopefully today's episode helped you understand why emotionally attuned people feel really destabilized when there's a lot of family distance, and how over-responding in response to disconnection just actually creates more chaos for you than choosing the way that you engage. And hopefully you'll take a little acceptance and curiosity along with you into your life today. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today. I really appreciate you being here and doing your work. New sessions are released on Fridays, and I've recently added a mini sesh on Monday mornings. So be sure to subscribe and do a quick review so more people can get this kind of help. Speaking of which, if you haven't taken my free, newly revamped class that helps you stop overthinking everything to death, just grab it on my website. It's at takeouttherapy.com. I'd love to teach you what actually works. And remember, while Takeout Therapy is a great educational resource, always get the level of support you need for your situation. Head to takeouttherapy.com to stay in the loop. And until next time, take really good care of yourself, friend.